And the people said, amen. I'm here again in the car. I've got to go to Orlando for an appointment. And so I'm talking to you now in the car again like I did yesterday. But today I want to teach. I want to teach on how to pray for the salvation of loved ones. Our loved ones and the salvation of our loved ones is the dearest thing to our hearts. And today I really want to show you what the Bible has to say about it. But thank you for joining me. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you will help us right now and speak to our hearts. And Lord, give us that joy that our loved ones will be saved soon. Every one of them will be saved soon for your glory, that you'll use them for your glory in Jesus' wonderful name. And God's people said a mighty amen. Well, Chad has loved ones. I have loved ones. You have loved ones that need the Lord, you know. And so, but how do we pray effectively for them? That's the question. So, let's begin with the promises of God. Your loved ones will be saved and can be saved. The Bible tells us some beautiful things. Let's look at Isaiah 49, 25, 26. Isaiah 49, 25, 26. All right. The sun is shining a little strong here. All right. 25 and 26 says, but thus says the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. That is marvelous. So we see from God's word very clearly that God will save our children. And there's many promises. For example, in Isaiah 54:13. In fact, let's look at it really quickly. Isaiah 54:13. So many precious promises in the word of God. Thank you, Lord, for that. All right, let's look at verse 13 together. Boy, you know, teaching from the car is fun. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Let me also give you some scriptures to write down. Isaiah 59:21 is another great promise. Isaiah 59:21. And in Psalm 102, verse 28. In fact, I want to read that to you. Psalm 102, 28. The Word of God has so many promises. In fact, you know, when you look at it, really, there's hundreds of them about our children and grandchildren being saved. It says, the children of thy servants. This is Psalm 102, 28. The children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee. So God's promises about the salvation of loved ones is all over the Bible. And you know, when we talk about God's promises, we have to understand that our God is a covenant God. He's a covenant-making, covenant-keeping God. And so the salvation of our loved ones is a covenant. It's the promise of the covenant. So when we believers partake of the covenant, we come under an umbrella of grace for ourselves and our families. So that's why in Exodus 12:3, God says a lamb for a house. He didn't say a lamb for an individual. He said a lamb for a house. So Noah, it says, built the ark for the saving of his family. That's in Hebrews 11:7. He built the ark for the saving of his family. He really did not build the ark for the saving of the animals. That was God's idea. Ooh, watch that man. He's going right off. Wow. Okay. driving on the highway sometimes, you have to have faith. Thank God. Thank God for your faith, brother. Anyways, so when Noah entered the ark, God Almighty protected him and his family because of one thing, the covenant, just the covenant. And like I said earlier, before that truck distracted us, that was in front of us, that he built the ark for the saving of his family, Hebrews 11:7, not for the animals. The animals were really God's idea. But why? Because of the covenant. God Almighty protected his family because of the covenant. And you need to understand that's what's going to happen with you. There is a covenant between the Lord and yourself when you got saved. And that covenant, with it comes an umbrella. Are you listening to that?
Everywhere.
With it, huh? No, no, really. With it comes an umbrella of grace over your loved ones. Like, why would God save Lot out of Sodom when it chose the world? Lot chose the world. He didn't choose the promised land. He said, no, I want to go over there where it looks so nice. But what happened? It says in Genesis 19:29, and God remembered Abraham and saved Lot. He didn't remember Lot. God remembered Abraham and saved Lot. So God will remember you and save your loved ones. So your loved ones are not going to be saved because they're good people. They're going to get saved because of the covenant you made with God Almighty yourself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not dependent on them. It's not dependent on them praying and fasting and seeking God, because they don't even know how. They have no ability. They're bound by the enemy. But because of you and the covenant you made with God, right on time, God will save your loved ones. Now, let's ask a question. How about when someone marries an unbeliever? Does that unbeliever come under that grace too? Well, you know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, Paul asks a question. He says, how do you know they're going to get saved? What gives you the guarantee you're going to get saved? And then he says something powerful. And also, let me just say one thing here, because I think people who marry unbelievers take a risk, you know, because of that question that Paul asked, like, how do you know they're going to get saved? But here too, there are promises that are incredible. God goes beyond, you know, being gracious to us, even when we make a bad decision. So in 1 Corinthians 7:14, let's look at that. 1 Corinthians 7:14, it says this wonderful thing. He says, for the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now they're holy. And you know what? He didn't say that your children are saved here. He just said they are holy in the sight of God, meaning that there's a special grace on them. This should encourage you, huh? There's special grace on them to find the Lord and come to the Lord, including your unbelieving husband or unbelieving wife. God puts his grace on them because of you. Now, this does not guarantee the salvation of a lost individual, but it promises that the influence of grace will extend to them. I'm going to say it again. God never promised their salvation. All he said is, because of the covenant you've made with me, I'm going to extend grace to them. So that when you pray for them, God looks at them with favor. Isn't that wonderful? And you're able to bring them into the kingdom. You know, Peter in 1 Peter 3:1, He says that the husbands can be saved by the example and the life of the wife. By looking at the wife. This is in 1 Peter 3 verse 1. He says by the holy living of a wife, she can actually bring her husband into salvation. So all that has to do is with, is the grace that unbelieving wife or unbelieving husband comes under when someone is born again, when there's a covenant. God's word also tells us that God saved Lot because of Abraham's relationship with him. So that's very important, that Abraham's prayer and Abraham's relationship was the beginning. That's what spared Lot, really. So your relationship with God will spare that loved one, that son, that daughter, that mommy, that daddy, that brother, that sister. And it says here that the angels came and took him by the hand, meaning Lot, out of Sodom and Gomorrah, because of the relationship Abraham had with the Lord. So these are all incredible promises. Now, I want to show you a blessed scripture from Job 22, verse 30. Job 22, 30. And I'm praying you're really writing all these scriptures down, and you can read them later again. It says, "He shall deliver the island of the innocent," or one who is not innocent, is the Hebrew. He will deliver one who is not innocent. How? He's delivered by the purity of your hands. Isn't that glorious? So God will deliver one who isn't innocent by the purity in your life, in your hands. So when you talk about grace and favor, there's so much of it. So now we intercede by standing in the gap. We really make up the hedge that they're not able to make up for themselves. So every intercessor, when you begin to intercede for your loved ones, God promises two things. Number one, the hedge around them will not break. And number two, protection will come on you. God protects you from the enemy when you pray for loved ones. That is in Ezekiel 22 verse 30. And Ezekiel 9:4 talks about how God protects intercessors when they pray for loved ones. And so it's important you understand when you get on your knees and you begin to pray for your loved ones, what happens is you take your priestly office. Because the Bible says in Revelation 1 and verse 5, we are kings and priests unto our God. So we are vested with authority to pray for our loved ones who cannot pray for themselves. And so when we pray, what are we doing? We are preparing the ark like Noah did for his loved ones. I repeat, he built it with his hands. We build that ark with our prayer on our knees. So when you and I pray, what we are doing when we intercede for loved ones, we are actually preparing an ark for the day when they'll need it. Isn't that glorious? So when judgment falls, it will not come on them, because they're delivered by the purity in your hands. And then we can declare, like the Shunammite woman, "It is well." Even when they're dead in sin, you know, her boy was dead, physically dead, and she said, "It's well." Because she'd been given the promise by Elisha earlier that God would give her a son. And now he died, and she said, "Wait a minute, I have a promise. I'm not going to let that boy die. I'm going to go see that prophet and remind him of the promise." So the whole time she said, "It is well." But what gives us that authority? Well, because we are priests, we have the authority. And number two, our intercession enables us to build a hedge around loved ones. And we have the power now over the enemy, because our loved ones don't, but we do. Remember what it says in Luke 10, verse 19, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing, nada, as they say in Spanish, nothing will hurt you. So intercession for loved ones is really our priestly ministry. Absolutely. And you have to begin to exercise that priestly ministry. And that's really warfare in the spirit, because our kingly authority enables us to win the war. So the Bible says very clearly that our loved ones, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. Very, very important portion. Okay? Here's what it says. It says, for if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So, what is it? Well, it's a mind-blinding demon that's there. And we have the authority to cast that thing out. So, you know, the Bible says that demoniac man, you know, in Gadara, found his right mind at the feet of Jesus. And we can pray that our loved ones will find the right mind at the feet of Jesus. Hallelujah. Because see, there's a mind-blinding devil that has your child's mind. You have the authority to tell that mind-blinding demon to just leave and get out, just like Jesus commanded those demons to leave. I don't think you realize what authority you really have. He who has the Son has eternal life on that card. I love it. Isn't that great? So you have incredible authority that you must realize you have. You've got to use it. And remember, Ephesians 6:12, the battle must be won in the spiritual realm. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. You're not fighting your son. You're not fighting your daughter. You're not fighting some loved one. You're fighting that demon spirit. So the battle is won really on your knees, and it's won in the spiritual realm. So we don't have authority over our loved ones. We have authority over the devil. God never gave us authority over loved ones. He gave us power over the devil that's controlling their mind. So, we can bind the mind blinder. And we can literally, as a result, we permit the light of the gospel to shine on them. Hallelujah. What a blessed God we serve. Thank you, Jesus. So, we have the power to resist the devil, just like James 4:7 says. Because we are in covenant. And if the Lord told us to resist the devil, then we have the obligation to do it. Are you listening, sweet people? Since God says resist the devil, you and I have the obligation to resist him and not say someone else do it. So, we resist him on behalf of our loved ones who are struggling under his control and cannot resist him on their own. So we have the authority to dominate the dominator and to torment the tormentors. Hallelujah. We dominate the dominators and we torment the tormentors when we get on our knees and intercede. So wonderful. So God has not given us the spirit of fear, has he? So now it's time to refuse fear. It's time to embrace boldness. It's time to attack the enemy. And I think the best time to be an intercessor is after worship. Worship prepares us. You know, it says in Psalm 149, let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and then let the sword be in their hand. Let the high praises first be in your mouth, and then let the sword be in your hand to execute vengeance on the heathen, to bind their nobles with chains, and on and on. So, we have the power, and we receive the power, and we release it in worship and authority. So, exercise your authority today, and let's see miracles. Amen! Hallelujah! Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray and I believe, Lord, loved ones will be saved this year. Now, Lord, you know what I want. I've asked you every day for it. I've been asking every day, and I believe. I've taken my authority, and I believe. Now, Lord, it's time we all see it in Jesus' name. We're not going to give up. We're not going to stop believing. We're not going to stop interceding. We're not going to stop taking our authority in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. They will be saved right on time in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And God's people said, amen. All right, be encouraged today because we have the promises of God and He will not fail us. He never does. Well, thank you for joining me for this wonderful Bible teaching car ride here as I'm on my way to Orlando. The Lord is good, isn't He? Yeah. All right. It's time to give to the Lord's work. This wonderful Thursday. Give it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall man give to your bosom, Jesus said. And remember, we honor the Lord with our substance, not just our worship and love. We honor Him also with our money and the first fruits of our increase. So shall our barns be filled with plenty, and our presses will just burst out with glorious holy new wine. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, you can give right there on that platform you're watching me on. Give it to Benny Hinn Ministries. Sow your seed today, expect a harvest. And you can also go to our website, BennyHinn.org, or simply text BHM 45777. And you're missing out, I'm telling you, you're missing out on BHI. We're having an incredible... I began a school a year ago, and now we're up to 2,800 students. We're going to hit 3,000 in no time. And I'm going through the book of Revelation verse by verse. Did you enjoy that on Monday? Can you tell them how good that was?
Oh, wow. Sir, you know, I started laughing.
Because?
Because by verse 10... there is just so much scripture. You were going through the Old Testament, just bringing such a reality to every verse, the details in every scripture, such key words, hidden treasures, truly, that you were revealing to us. It was precious. I'm so excited for tonight.
I want you to be a part of the class. And you can join, and it's only $25 a month. $25 a month? Nothing. For the Bible school. And it's a good one, too. I was told, and I'm not boasting, I was told by students, they have never heard such a thing, even in some of them that went to some universities, you know, Christian universities. So the Lord is really good because, see, it's His Word. It's His Word. It's not me. So join BHI and be a part. And by the way, class is tonight. So you can actually be a part of the class tonight at 7 p.m. on the East Coast. All right. Much love. See you again tomorrow, Friday. Bye-bye. Thanks for joining me. You're the best. I mean it. Bye-bye.